listening to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Your father looked down at you. He had but one hope. Someday my son will grow to be a man. Well, look at you now. You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of goddamn nerds. Nerds! Well, if I was you, I'd do something about it. I would get up and redeem myself in the eyes of my father, my maker, and my coach. Well, let's get those nerds!
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 What are we waiting for?
Prostitute isn't helping me, man.
What? Ain't nobody hiring no damn transvestite.
What?
What are you talking about?
She was really nice, incidentally.
If that sister was a transvestite, that was the Mona Lisa of transvestites.
You got a Hummer from the tranny, didn't you?
Hey, you know, aren't we owed one now? Because technically we paid her.
She had a dick, man.
Do you guys even like me? Or is this some sort of cruel joke that you're all in on? Because I'm not a freak. I'm a good person.
You know, I always thought that Matt Damon was like a Streisand, but I think that he's rocking the shit in this one.
Shut up, Dave!
Hold up. Let's just chill on the aggression for a minute.
I've never prayed to you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember. if we were good men or bad, why we fought or why we died. No. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. Valor pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Episode 87 of Nowhere in Mulberry. It is August 4th, 2007. Thank you for joining us. TV and pop culture podcast. All sorts of great stuff this week. The pop culture zealot to my left. How are you doing, Steven?
Doing fine today, thank you.
Is it freaking hot enough for you?
It is so darn hot.
It's the mugginess of it. It's so friggin' muggy. Like, I can go out and check the mail and come in and go, damn, I'm like just sweating up a storm. And
well, I rode my motorcycle today, and it's just like,
oh, I know. And when you get the helmet,
he rode his motorcycle.
When you have your helmet on, do you sweat inside your helmet? What if sweat goes in your eyes and stuff?
No,
Steven's the renegade.
And you pull up to your Winnebago, the Indian guy's there.
Nice.
Also, we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm good. It's also very hot.
Yeah. And, I guess the whole nation is hot. It's that global warming.
When I ride my Knight Rider tricycle,
sweet.
I you know, I sweat a lot.
Now, hey, guys, before we go any further, I just want to mention that we are now not just a podcast. We're also on Talk Radio X, an internet talk radio station. Hey, how about that, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So anyone listening to our show for the first time, welcome. Thank you for listening. Jason, Steven, Bill, we're here to talk TV, film, and pop culture. We also have Vanessa, the Mulberry Newswoman, but she's not here today. But you'll be hearing her sometime soon.
Eventually.
Right.
We also have here Foggy, who likes to do, what would you say, drops, stuff like that.
He paints the show.
Yes, apparently he doesn't like himself. He's a self-hater. Now, guys, the Podcast Awards voting is still going on, so if you're still voting for our show daily, I appreciate it. If you haven't yet, go ahead. Go to podcastawards.com, entertainment category. Also, TV and film is our buddies, the Hollywood Saloon.
Every night at 11 o'clock.
You know what that means, guys?
We're in this game!
Yeah, we're in this game! We can still defeat our enemies! Crush our foes! Yes!
Haku Masente!
Yes, whatever that means!
I just want to hear the lamentations of their women.
Oh, yes, I do. The lamentations! Oh, hell yes! We have the Spartans on our side, too! That's 300 votes right there, Steven.
Sweet.
Awesome!
But those are only one-time votes, right? Because
they don't live long enough to vote daily.
Yeah.
But they voted with valor and honor, though. So
it's a gloryful vote.
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women.
Ah, yes. You know, having watched 300 again recently, I love when King Leonidas says, your son here hasn't yet felt the warmth of a woman to be able to go in battle. It's like, hey, they care about if you get laid or not before you go into
absolutely.
Battle.
Absolutely. Every soldier should care if they've been laid.
I mean, that's awesome, don't you think? Like, so,
yeah, he should have right then and there went, you know what, maybe you should take my wife. Go back and
we will get you a Spartan prostitute.
Go lay with
you
woman tonight.
That's some movie, man. I still, when I watch that, I'm like, some people hated this. I can understand.
It's too much fun. How can you hate it?
It's like an Xbox game or something. It's not a real movie.
My God.
You know what I say to that?
You want a piece of me?
Yeah, exactly. That clip is from the fat kid who won that Shaq's Big Challenge. He, you know, he's still kind of chubby, and he was like, to the camera. Like, he was like, you want a piece of me? And he's like flexing. And I just thought it was hilarious. I love the
his non-existent muscles.
Yeah.
You want a piece of me?
Like, bulging.
Poor kid. Poor, poor kid.
But he lost a lot of weight, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. He looks a lot better. Podcast awards. We got to win. We're on Talk Radio X. Let's get the word out. Vote for Mulberry. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you very much for that. And what else do we have? Oh, by the way, talkradiox.com. Go there. I believe right now, guys, we're on Sundays and Tuesdays. Eventually, the show live, guys. You want to do the show live where people could call in, something like that? I don't know the logistics of it yet, but I think it'd be cool if we could do something like that.
Maybe.
Here's the thing about doing a live show. We would have to start at an exact time and keep that time. You know what I mean? If we were – basically, we'd have a slot where we'd –
better set my alarm clock.
Well, we'd also have to be where, like, Steven, you would – what if they were saying, hey, we have a spot open for you on Tuesdays? We couldn't do that. We'd be screwed. Yeah. We'd have to be on Saturday or Sunday, preferably Saturday. But if you look on the schedule right now, there's, like – a lot of
Saturdays
live shows on Saturdays. That's where
everybody else has that. That's when their time is.
Yeah,
too.
So we'll figure it out. We've got a, I mean, there's no rush. The guy was like, let me know whenever you want to be live. So right now what we'll be doing is doing the show, zipping on to Talk Radio X, and Bill and I was like, Bill, we're our show's on right now. Check it out. And it was like, holy shit, we sound like we're on the radio.
Yeah, it was great.
It was.
I mean, I don't know what like kind of codec is used or whatever, but it definitely sounds like you're on the radio.
It sounded like we were on an AM radio station. And that's essentially what it is. It's an internet talk radio station. There's shows about, what, I don't know, finance, sex, all sorts of
everything.
All sorts of things that we love, especially sex.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We're in this game!
Exactly! Yes! We're in this game. What do we do if we win? Where will we celebrate?
The Hooters.
Hooters! Hey, why not?
Well, we'll all set the laptop desk up and put the laptop on.
Yeah. No, we're in Mulberry, live from Hooters.
You know, I was talking to Andy of the Hollywood Saloon. He goes, if you win the laptop desk, you have to go to the podcast expo to retrieve your prize. So we'd have to go to California... Ontario, California, and go to get our award.
So nice. We have to pay $500
yeah.
a $30 laptop.
It's like, hey, could you mail it to me? I mean, I would love to go, don't get me wrong. And we're even talking now if we win. There's so much competition in our category. There is one, let me say how cool podcasters are. A guy who does the Danger Zone podcast, he is nominated in the entertainment category also. He emailed the show, nimpodcast@gmail.com, and he said, hey, listen to your show, it's great, I wish you the best of luck, we're both nominated in the same category. Hey, isn't that cool?
Very nice.
So I listened to his show and I was like, hey, listen to your show, it's good stuff, and wish you the best of luck too. Pretty cool. But still, at the same time, guys, it doesn't matter.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
So unfortunately,
that is good.
Unfortunately, he must die.
That is good.
A piece of me.
Yeah, it is good. So that's pretty awesome. Okay, guys,
correct.
I'm going to say right now, this episode of the show is dedicated to JSR on our forums. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You'll find the link to our forum. Jack Smirking Revenge is his handle, and he said it was a great show. He commented on the show, and I thought that was great. He's the dedicated listener this week on our show.
He gets the laptop desk. Congratulations.
Yes. Enjoy the laptop desk. Oh, by the way, they're holding it for you in Ontario, California. Exactly,
but
guys.
When you pick it up, you can send it to us. We'll sign it, and then we'll send it back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind paying for the shipping, too, by
right.
the way. But hey, laptop desk. You could also maybe TV dinner, eat off of it. Or like
Hey, you know, I bet you more people would do that than anything else.
Foggy porn platform.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's why he can sit on the toilet and have it right in front of him.
Yeah, then you don't got to hold the magazine with one hand.
I need my hands free.
So I can caress myself with both hands.
Dirty hands, must wash them.
I'm doing what my mommy told me not to do.
I'm going to go blind and get hairy palms, but I don't care.
I love that line from Student Bodies.
Yeah.
I'm doing what my mommy told me not to do. All right, guys, I saw a movie this week, and what do you say we get into entertainment and talk about it? You want to? Let's do it. Okay. Bill, I saw it. The Bourne Ultimatum.
Oh, cool.
Matt Damon kicking some ass. I always thought he was a Streisand, but man, in this series, man, he's kicking ass.
Yeah, I never would have thought Matt Damon would be, like, in an action series.
Do you remember that line from 40-Year-Old Virgin? They're kind of arguing in the background, Bourne Identity's on, and Paul Rudd goes, man, I always thought Matt Damon was a total Streisand, but he's really kicking ass in this flick. But he owns this role. It's so great. I love the first two films, but... I mean, I'm going to say it's a perfect trilogy, if that's indeed what it is. Are there going to be any more? I don't think Robert Ludlum wrote any more novels to be based on.
No, he croaked, and I think someone took up the helm and is trying to write
more. Oh, they're doing like L. Ron Hubbard, like, oh, it's still by him. I swear no one else wrote this.
Yeah.
It's like he's been dead for a long time. Yeah, there some other writer takes over for it.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, that's cool if it's a good story, but I doubt they would base a movie off of it. But this film, directed by Paul Greengrass, who, can we say right now, top of his game?
Yeah, he's
top
the man.
Top of his game. And the tension in this film just builds and builds and builds. At one point, I was like, my God, there's sweat rolling down from my armpits. It was like that tense, and it was pretty disgusting, too. But
I hear it tops the first two. Like, it just... entertainment wise
it really there are some moments where it just builds up to where it's just incredible, the amount of tension and the action. It really was great. I'm going to say, and this is one thing that I didn't expect, there was a lot of clapping for parts in this movie. Like there would be like a fight scene or something where Jason Bourne, you know close in, he kicks multiple guys' asses, he's just real fast, he's breaking arms, people were like, woo! And like just start clapping. Whenever he kicks someone's ass, the whole audience ate it up. And of course, Jason Bourne's always one step of anyone. And whenever he outsmarts anyone, people would cheer too. So they really got into it. And that's always fun when an audience does that.
I'll wait and see it. Not this coming week, the following week.
Right. It's definitely a must-see. And best thing, Universal. So it's coming to HD DVD, Bill.
Nice. I already have the first two on HD DVD, but...
But will the format war still be going on? I keep saying that it's already over.
Screw them!
That's the one thing you shouldn't pay attention to, the format war. It'll drive you nuts. Did you see that story? This is off subject, Bill, but these guys robbed a store and stole the Blu-ray discs. They're like, wow, even thieves don't want HD DVD. Blu-ray all the way.
Wow.
I'm sorry, but I root for the underdog, and it's obvious those guys own PS3s or something. That's why they're stealing it, right?
Right.
Well, either they own them or they just want to hawk them.
Yeah, that's probably they're going to
like
local
the old white van. Hey, man, I got some extra.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Because
I love the old white van.
Every lunchtime outside my work, I would eat lunch in my car a lot of times. I'm weird. I don't like to eat around people a lot of times, especially at work when you want to get away from your coworkers. Last thing you want to do is...
And I can understand you probably don't want to eat around Steven.
Well, Steven didn't work with me at the time, but...
Oh.
But I would be like sitting there and go, hey, man, you want some speakers? We just finished a job. You want to check them out? And it's like, what? No, what?
Yeah,
what kind of job was that?
They forgot to take these off.
And I'm not kidding. Literally twice a week. Hey, man, you want to look into it? It's like, dude, don't you remember me from 2 days ago? And I remember complaining about it to another coworker, and we went to lunch, and we drove up, and we were sitting in the car, and this van drove up. Hey, man! He's like, holy shit, dude, you were totally serious. Like, I was like, I know, I get offered speakers, like, all the time. Maybe once I should have said, all right, let's see what you got. Then they open the van, throw me in. Next thing you know, I'm being brainwashed. I'm a Scientologist. So
yeah, the craziest thing was one time I was sitting at a parking lot of Long John Silver's clogging my arteries with their delectable fish. And some guy in this red van pulls up and goes, "Hey, man, I got some speakers. You want to check them out?" And I was just like, I have speakers.
The best.
I messed with him. I said, "Will you take it, check?"
Know what to say.
The best one was I was with a friend and the guy goes, "Hey, party animals, you guys want some speakers?"
No.
Yes, party
oh
animals.
Oh my god, party animals. Was he from New Jersey or something? Hey, party animals.
I don't know what the deal is. Party animals.
So really, you're going to pull that line on me?
But the Bourne Ultimatum, and I think I kept saying Bourne Supremacy. You want to go see the Bourne Supremacy to my wife? You mean Bourne Ultimatum? Yeah. You know, two tickets for Bourne Supremacy? No, Ultimatum. It's like, damn it, I can't retain the title to this film in my head. But it's really awesome. I can't wait. The one thing I was scared about, Bill, the previews, out of focus. All of them.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, God. And my heart was beating. I was like, God, please don't let the movie be out of focus. Please don't let the movie. And it started and it wasn't. But here's one thing. It flickered a lot. And doesn't that mean the projector bulb's going out? It kind of flickers?
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure the projector bulb's going out. And that's one thing I complain. Because recently, Bill, it's been a huge HD DVD week. Mm-hmm. Darkman, Hot Fuzz, 300.
No. Shaun of the Dead.
Sitting in the comfort of your home watching this high def sound. We're spoiled, and then we go to a theater, and it's a flickering bulb. It's out of focus, and you're like, why do I even go to the movie theater? Because yeah,
that only ever happened to me one time.
You can get such great quality at home now. The reason to really go to the theater is because you've got to see the film so bad. And I loved Bourne Supremacy and Bourne Identity so much that I couldn't wait for video. I just had to see it. It was time to see it. And
it was time.
And it's just like Bill, I've heard the Simpsons movie. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it is. It's very funny.
It's hilarious. You saw it?
Yeah, I liked it.
But should I go see it in the theater? Or should I just wait?
I'd wait.
I can hold out.
Can you hold out 6 months?
I think
it's funny, but it's not like, oh my god, I got to pay to see this on the big screen. Funny.
Right. Exactly. So what else is coming out soon? I saw an out-of-focus trailer to Beowulf.
Did you see the... You know what? I can understand the use of the motion capture, but I think maybe Beowulf would have been a little more interesting live action.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I get excited about is it'll probably look great in HD.
Yeah, that is.
You know what I was thinking when I saw the trailer? I was like, wow, World of Warcraft's opening movie. you know what?
It does.
It looks
does.
Like that. But I saw a trailer recently, Bill, to it's a film with Mila Jovovich. It's the new Resident Evil. And it looks kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, it does. But it uses a lot of clips from the prior two movies. It's like, yeah, I guess they didn't have enough done or what?
I like that it's in a post-apocalyptic setting. It's desert. All of a sudden, it's Road Warrior / zombies.
Yeah, and you know, you pointed it out. There's a part in the trailer where there's zombies, like, grouping around this one area that's fenced off. Mm-hmm. And it looks exactly like a scene out of... Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it definitely reminded
me. Comic series.
And another thing is this film is directed by Russell Mulcahy, the director of Highlander, which is the first Highlander. Let's forget about the Highlander series. Let's forget about all the sequels. The first Highlander was an excellent.
You cannot forget about The Quickening, okay? You cannot forget about it.
Yes, we can. Please forget about it. Or the Mario Van Peebles one.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, remember that when he gets chopped in half and his arms are on the bar? He's like, and he connects back to his legs.
You know, hey, the chick in the Mario Van Peebles one was hot.
Oh, yeah. But was it Deborah Kara Unger or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. But other than that, it was...
Russell Mulcahy, he did the film called Highlander, which was incredible. I remember seeing it for the first time, and I was blown away by the camera work, the editing. It was just fantastic. Unfortunately, Highlander 2, that all got flushed down the toilet, and it was a total piece of shit. He also directed such films as Ricochet and The Real McCoy with Val Kilmer and Kim Basinger.
Interesting.
Bad movie. So
yeah, the real McCoy is unwatchable.
He basically,
but Ricochet's fun.
The thing is, he never lived up to that film. He even, his first movie was a movie called Razorback, this Australian movie about a gigantic razorback, and it was actually pretty interesting. It wasn't a bad film. It showed a lot of promise. And then Highlander, it showed. He also was a video director. He did like such videos as Wild Boys, Duran Duran.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened to him, but maybe now with this Resident Evil film, he can show us what that previous kind of talent, maybe.
Hey, I'm all for it.
I mean, we love zombies. Am I right?
We do.
We love to
appreciate the zombie killing.
So we'll see what happens with that. Also, there was another trailer. Have you seen the trailer to this new Jodie Foster film where it's like a female Death Wish?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's Kersey back from the dead and in female form.
Hey, I love revenge flicks like that. I love it. Some guy comes up, he tries to accost her on a subway, and she's
killed
like...
the giggler.
Bam! Yeah, the giggler. Oh, dude, how great would that be, guys, if all of a sudden the giggler was in
the... Oh, that would rock. The giggler and Alex Winter.
Alex Winter, yeah!
Fracker needs to be in there.
Oh, yeah, the giggler. I would love Jodie Foster turns around and there's the giggler.
They killed the giggler, man. They killed the giggler!
They had no business doing that.
They had no business doing that.
No business doing that.
Jodie Foster had no business killing the giggler. Oh, man, I want to see, what is this movie called? The Brave One?
Yeah, I
think Brave One, 1, 2, and 3, and the third one, she's got a friend with a zip gun, and oh, I just can't wait. I really hope this franchise works.
And an elephant pistol.
Yeah,
and they all live on the back lot at Universal.
Oh, that movie's genius. Death Wish 3. Anyone doesn't know what we're talking about? Go rent Death Wish 3 right now.
Genius. Oh, and a motorcycle gang shows up out of nowhere and starts beating the crap out of people.
My favorite part of the whole thing, this whole gang, they're attacking the town. The bad guy is indoors when he dies, and outside they show all the gang members just drop their weapons and they're all depressed. It's like, how did they know it was him who died? How do they know?
Well, they heard that gigantic bazooka sound and went, no.
They felt his spirit within them and it died out.
Yeah, it was in the force.
Fracker's dead.
Fracker's dead, man.
Fracker's voice was silenced within the force.
Man, they shouldn't have killed the Fracker, man.
They killed the giggler, man. They killed the giggler!
They had no business doing that.
Ah, yes. What do you say we get into What's on our TiVo?
You want a piece of me?
All right, guys. We all know about Lindsay Lohan. She got busted with coke in the car. But one thing I don't know if you guys knew about, the people who were also in the car with her were under duress. That's right. They interviewed them. Essentially, Lindsay Lohan carjacked them, and they were afraid to do anything because I guess she's so dangerous. Let's check it out.
She was probably going 100 miles an hour the whole time on PCH.
They were taken on a death-defying ride when Lindsay...
Oh, my God, she was on PCH? That stuff's really bad.
Denali. I tell her, that's when I'm like, no, you know, don't drive. That's when he hops out of the car.
That's when I jump out of the car.
You were where? You were in the back seat.
I was in the back seat behind Dante. I jump out of the car as she's just about to start accelerating. She accelerates. She runs over my foot.
She actually ran over your foot.
She actually ran over my...
Yes, I did do drugs. I appreciate everyone giving me my privacy.
So these three guys are like, oh my God, Lindsay Lohan's crazy. What do we do? She ran over my foot.
She's stealing my car, man. She's carjacking me.
How many of them were like, dude, we could totally get interviewed on Extra for this? Jesus.
Man, she's a badass. We were so afraid to say anything because we thought she'd kill us.
What did you guys think of Dr. Will last season on Big Brother? Did it drive you nuts?
Yeah, I hated him the first season I saw him, and I hated him the last season.
I mean,
he's an asshole.
I mean, is it all an act? He's just being cocky and all that. Is it? He's playing up to the cameras.
No.
Because, Bill, this week he was on Dr. 90210 on E!, and I have no idea why, because I don't watch the show, but I saw the little bit with him on it, and I was just like, is there a place in hell waiting for this guy? Let's check it out.
Hey, Jackie, how does my schedule look this weekend?
You're really busy, Doc.
Thank you very much. That I like to hear.
My name is Dr. Will Kirby, and I'm a cosmetic dermatologist in Beverly Hills. I just finished residency training, and my goal right now is to build my practice.
I have a lot of celebrity patients. I have huge contacts in Hollywood.
It's an exciting time for me.
I'm part of a group called the Dolce Group. The big investors are Ashton Kutcher, Jamie Kennedy. If you go to Dolce or Geisha House on a Friday night, you're going to see beautiful women. You're going to see A-list actors. You're also going to see hot doctors.
Hey, nice to see you.
I have some boys for you two to meet.
Would you ever get married?
No, not at all. I'd get married to a Trojan company.
There's
my friends are absolutely out of control crazy. They live the Hollywood Beverly Hills lifestyle to a T.
Friends are the most important thing in my life right now.
Women love and men want to be a Will Kirby.
If you die and you get to pick who you want to come back as, you might want to pick me.
Cheers.
Cheers. Salute.
So, any comments on that?
You know what?
That says it all.
Now, one thing, say you had a lot of money, say you were rich, would you want that lifestyle, the phoniness of being around people with a lot of plastic surgery and hanging out at the Geisha House with Mike Boogie?
You go to Dolce.
Mike Boogie and his fedora coming up to you and kissing your ass. Would you want to go into business with some Scientologists? How many of those are Scientologists, Bill? What's that all about?
Probably the majority.
That's so weird.
God, that's so to even think about, like, how incredibly vain.
Thetan.
It makes my stomach hurt. You know, I probably could never survive out in L.A. because I would want to cold cock everyone.
Yeah, you do that schmoozing thing.
Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
Exactly.
I just can't do that. It's not in me.
Now, have you guys heard of this house flipping stuff? Like, flip that house, and it's on every channel. Yeah. There's some
where they buy a shit box and then turn it into a better shit box.
And my wife's in the real estate business. She said more houses are flopping right now than flipping because of the
real estate market.
Yeah, the real estate market. But there's a show called Flipping Out, and it's about this guy, Steven. I'm not going to say anything about his sexual orientation, but he flips houses.
Hey, maybe he was just born with an affect.
Yeah. No. We'll never know, though, Bill. You know why?
Why is that?
It's a conspiracy.
Exactly.
Oh. You know, I thought it was.
Let's check out Flipping Out, and you'll see how crazy this guy is.
It's part of the OCD.
I don't think Jeff understands what it's like to not be completely neat, clean, tidy, and not want that. It's a little bit, you know, it's living in a museum. Little American Psycho-esque.
We all know I have OCD. Did you vacuum this by chance? I'm very fortunate because I found a business that validates and celebrates my disorders.
Oh.
So we found the right business for a complete psycho.
Well, you know what? That's terrific.
Now, this week on Hey Paula, it's all in the audio, but it's also visual. We had to have seen it, but the audio will help you out. Basically, Paula here, she trips over her... She's one of those people that has all the yappy little dogs. So she trips over one of her dogs, but I love... This is the show she's on. It's her show, and every week they make fun of what a nut job she is. Not only does she fall on the dog, but they have to replay it multiple times just for comic effect. Just check this out.
I fell over her. I didn't want to hurt her. So I ended up taking like a nosedive. I tore some cartilage in my nose. Didn't break anything.
Look at them all.
They're crawling.
What?
I'm sorry.
So it's like they play it like her fall multiple
four
times. It's like, all right, we get it. Why is
but
she
they
even
don't
on
even
show?
They keep the audio. So hubba.
Was that hey, was that Mr. Mitzvah in the background?
I think behind him.
Watch yourself.
Oh, I love it. This show, Rock of Love, is genius. This horrible Bret Michaels show, because it's crazy bitches all after each other. And this,
I love white trailer trash bitches.
I love it because there's this one chick who, of course, she wants Bret to pick her. And when he doesn't, she ain't going to play that. And she just leaves without, just check it out. Hurry. Let's check it out.
Don't touch me, sweetie. Don't touch me.
Sweetie,
don't touch me.
She doesn't like people touching her.
Personal space.
My strategy at this point is if I can get Dallas to hit me, she's going home. So I'm just going to push those buttons and push and push.
Don't touch me.
You are stopping her from walking away.
Whoa, what's going on?
Stop now. You hear me?
Okay. Lacey, would you come down here, please?
Oh, it's very serious.
Bret picks Lacey over me. He's a f***ing idiot. That's okay.
No hug?
That was not nice, Bret. Hey, sweetie, don't shoot any puppies on your way out, okay?
Don't
shoot any puppies?
Like, oh my God, what a bitch. That was absolutely disrespectful.
It's all right. I gotta tell you something. When someone don't have enough class to even come over and thank you for inviting them to your house, for treating them nice, that's pretty classless.
I doubt that's your house.
My favorite thing is she's walking out and he's like, what, no hug? Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah, I love that's his house. It's a friggin' studio. All right, last comic standing, the same guy from last week, Lavelle Crawford, the big large man who's very funny, self-deprecating humor. I'm trying to put it in a nice way. It's heckle week, and let's see how he handled himself. I think he did a pretty good job. No, I have no idea. Let's check it out.
I thought Biggie Smalls was dead.
Hey, look here, white lady. You don't want to heckle me. I got one like you in my trunk right now.
I want my bra back.
You want your bra back? Well, you need to support them big old cannonballs. They hanging down to your thighs. I bet they hurt when you do jumping jacks, don't you? Don't be mad at me because my boobie's bigger than yours.
Hey-o.
That's not what you said last night.
I didn't say nothing to you last night. I don't know how you got untied.
He be tying up white women. Are you still watching Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, yeah, every week. I love that show.
Now, this week, it was a very tender Hell's Kitchen. It's different than usual, where it's Gordon Ramsay yelling at people or playing paintball with them. This week, it was a pleasant surprise. Let's check it out. And this actually happened on The Apprentice, too, so I'm very suspicious.
I've got some special judges to help me taste.
Ladies, please.
Oh, my
God. Your mums are here.
Your mums.
Welcome. Carol,
Mommy!
Joyce, and Carol. Welcome to Hell's Kitchen.
It's kind of coincidence.
I thought maybe it
Carol.
Was chefs from another restaurant. Not my
it's
mom.
A conspiracy.
No, I just couldn't believe that she was here.
How are you, my darling?
But I was really happy, and I was really looking forward to the judging being over and being able to go talk to my mother.
I was very excited.
I got
people in my family don't show emotion.
I just hugged my mom and, you know, told her how much I loved her, and, yeah.
Well, you love your mom. I get it. Okay.
I love you. Don't mess up my mic.
They love their mamas.
I love you. Don't mess up my mic.
You know, she really, she gave me a boost.
Don't mess up my makeup.
She gave me a boost that I really needed.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes, exactly. Now, Bill, who's going to win? Do you know so far?
Rock.
The Rock. Oh, The Rock is going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Paco Machete!
Yeah, I hope he says that when he wins.
Yeah, that's him announcing the name of his new restaurant. Paco Machete.
Now, Steven, Bill, did you guys watch it? The Two Corys.
Yes.
Did you check it out?
I didn't.
Oh, you missed it? What did you think, Steven?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it's a golden train wreck.
I couldn't find it on my... you see, I wanted the TiVo in the living room, and I have not a TiVo, but a cable unit, and it only goes 3 days ahead. It's really crappy. So I couldn't find it and forgot about it by the time it aired.
Bummer, because he missed out, didn't he, Steven?
It was a beautiful, beautiful
First of all,
thing.
I love the setup where Corey Haim is picked up at the airport, and he shows up, and it's a big reunion. But then they cut to this the show, how much, 80, 90% scripted, would you
Probably,
say?
Probably, yes.
They show a Corey Feldman making out with his wife in the hot tub, and they're like, you know, getting serious. And all of a sudden, they go, wah, 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 and they turn around, and Corey Haim's like, hey, guys, am I bothering you? He gets in the hot tub with them, too.
Oh my God.
It just seems so like
Corey
staged.
Haim's just about to strip down his girl right there.
And
or Feldman, I mean.
They're so into, like, what was it?
Vegan.
They're vegans, and they have a lady over. And
from PETA.
Corey Haim starts hitting on her because he's talking about he's been laid in a long time. The best part about the show
But what was funny was, you know, he got her outside, started talking to her, found out she has a boyfriend, you know, but he's still chatting with her, being friendly and everything.
And inside...
Oh, inside, the wife is a friggin' train wreck.
Yeah, she's like, he's trying to get her into the hot tub. He's like, well, you know, he hasn't dated anyone in a long time. And the best part is, like, he orders a pizza because they eat this vegan food. And the guy comes to the door while they're all eating. He's like, dude, just set it on the porch, man. You're making me look bad.
Oh, my God.
They come in, you know, and, yeah, well, she's invited me to come over for dinner, and her boyfriend are going to cook for me. And it's like,
what?
Feldman's wife is just like, all of a sudden, just like, starts laughing.
It's like, you have a boyfriend?
It's like, we didn't know. You know, it's just
so
like,
basically, the gist of the show is it's the odd couple. He's real dirty. Corey Feldman's
well,
real
was,
neat.
Wasn't he a coke addict or something?
He is very manic, isn't he?
Yeah.
They even show the one part where Corey Feldman goes up in his room. First of all, he go in their kitchen, like every glass has cigarette butts put out in it. And they're like, dude, what the
and
hell?
And both Feldman and his wife are non-smokers. They're former smokers.
They quit. He goes up in his room. There's this weird shit on his bed. I don't know what it is. He's like, what the F is this?
He goes to pick it up and it kind of gel.
It's
moves like gelatin.
Melted ice cream on the bed. And he goes, dude, you got to throw away your ice cream. He goes, oh, I didn't throw that away? But the best part is they go to this Lost Boys reunion. And
they get the other brother.
The other frog brother's there. The guy's balding. He's out of shape. But it's great to see him. I wonder what happened to the guy. And the Corey Haim's like, dude, we need to put a script together for Lost Boys 2. He's like, yeah, you're right. And we, you know, we already played that a couple of shows ago where Corey Feldman breaks it to him that they're already making one without them. But I love the questioning of the audience. They're like... saying stuff like, when are you making Lost Boys 2? That's like what everybody wants to know. It's like, dude, he's not even getting work. But the show is so scripted and it's so cheesy. But at the same time, I couldn't stop watching it. I was entertained by it.
And what's it? Is it on A&E?
Yeah, on A&E.
Wow.
And one thing...
how far they've fallen.
I know. After Corey Haim learns they're making Lost Boys 2, he's got to go on a walk and... He's very upset, and they're worried about him. You know, what is he doing?
And he's gone for hours and hours.
Like, what could he be doing? Oh, my God.
I hope he won't hurt himself.
And he comes
he's
back.
He's probably smoking a crack rock.
Yeah, he's in an alley. Oh. And he comes back, and he's like, I got you guys a wedding gift. I never did. And he got him, like, a vase from Tiffany's, and they're real touched.
Tiffany's crystal and everything. It's like,
oh, God.
So, I mean, it's an entertaining show.
So the production company bought them a Tiffany's crystal vase?
Yeah. I don't think they even live in that house that they're in, by the way.
It's way too nice.
No, okay, that show, scripted, a real reality show. Who wants to be a superhero? Am I right?
Beautiful
Absolutely.
Show.
Completely real, real people. They want to be superheroes. Etc., etc. Now, my favorite guy, I love the guy's costume mindset. He's got gigantic shoulder pads. And there's the girl named Ms. Limelight, the fake baker, I guess you would call her. She's very tan. She's kind of bubble-headed. And I love
very
that.
Tan. I think she's bronzed, like literally.
Yeah.
I think somebody dipped her in a freaking vat of bronzer.
And she doesn't have a lot of confidence either. She's always talking about, oh, I don't think I can do this. But Diffuser's like, I'm going to make a bet with you, a deal with you. You don't say anything negative about yourself.
For 24 hours.
24 hours. And I think you could do it. Be positive. She's like, okay. And then Mindset's like, decides to give his advice too. Let's check it out.
I don't think you are dumb. I think it's a part that you're playing. And it's kind of the happy, you know, kind of dumb, you know?
What?
I think it's a role.
People my whole life have told me this, that I'm fake, that I'm playing a part. And that to me is like, no, it's the worst because it's not. People don't know where I come from. But people like you tell me I'm being silly and I play a role. I'm trying to be a dumb person.
I did think that mindset's comment came a little bit out of left field. It's definitely very confrontational, maybe more of an attack than I think was necessary.
You don't know!
Oh my God.
It bothers me that people think that I'm an act, or that I'm fake, or that I'm trying to get attention.
I don't, honey.
That's not me.
I am very honest.
I love you.
With people, and especially if
I feel like I'm making
a mistake of some sort. I'll say something.
For a guy who's supposed to be really smart, that wasn't too smart, was it?
No.
What did you guys think
of? I think it's a super villain.
What was the chick's name? The villain? Bee? What was Bee Lady?
Beehive.
Beehive? Uh-huh. What was that all about? But the best
part... they had to have super villains this time. Well, I mean, they had such
the Iron Enforcer. It's hard to top him. That's a great act, but
yeah, they should just bring him and his pockmarks back.
Yeah, and his bad BO. So let's check it out, because the Beehive, she... I love when they walk through the door and the net falls on them. First of all,
I fell out laughing.
We're trapped in this giant net.
Gosh.
Next thing, cut to, they're in a giant case. They're in a box. They didn't say cut. Okay, you guys get in this case. And action again, did they?
No.
Let's see.
Living in a box.
What does this bee lady want them to do? She wants them to be in a spelling bee.
The first team to spell
three words correctly will earn everyone's release.
Here we go, guys. Get ready. Relax.
What is that, California Romania?
The first word is BC.
I fall to bite your neck.
Tall man.
B-E-S.
Wrong.
She's not only insane, she can't spell.
B-E-E-S-I-E-G-D.
Okay, get it. So she's the B-woman, so she's going to be using two E's whenever there's only one.
You figured out the game.
Ooh, it was tough.
You figured out my little game.
Next word. Be right.
I'm an out-of-work actor. I'm just relishing my part.
I will not play your games. That is how it is spelled.
Then you will not be released.
Hello? It would have been nice for Mindset to talk to us first before he put us all in jeopardy.
I think the rest of us are in for a world of hurt.
I will not play
it's
your
time
game.
To say hello.
I will spell words correctly.
Okay,
one word.
I just want all the kids out there to know.
It's the count.
Spelling is very important. So I'll play your little game right now.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well stated.
Good call, Hygiena.
Good call.
So basically what we figured out about this, none of them can spell, and CGI bees are really scary, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, they are. I was so frightened, I started hiding under a blanket.
Were there about four bees in there? And then the rest were CGI?
Yeah, probably. Maybe six.
Because
bees.
I was thinking they were like, ow! But they couldn't put them in a thing with bees that sting. What if somebody's allergic? I mean, isn't that dangerous?
I would
yes,
think so.
But they are superheroes.
Oh, yes, they can take anything. So all of their outfits are ruined from the honey she dumps on them. That goes nowhere, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that's costume replacement time.
Yeah, so they replace the costumes. And what is the karate dude's name? Hyperstrike. And he doesn't like his outfit. Apparently he didn't watch last season, did he? With Ty
Well,
Vaculous?
No, he did, because he told Stan
sorry,
Lee.
What?
sorry. No, because he told Stan Lee up front. He goes, I'm not sure about this, but remember, last season he told him he loved it, but then later on he said, like, I hated it.
Yeah.
He goes, I'd rather you be honest up front and tell
but
me.
But I love that you guys' mindset's like, man, that's a great outfit. You look like you're from a comic book. And he goes, what comic books are you reading? So anyway, it comes down to, this was the whole thing. What did you guys think of, all of a sudden, Ms. Limelight, she looks a little bit better in her new outfit, doesn't she?
Yeah.
What do you think, Bill?
Don't be mad at me because my boobie's bigger than yours.
What? Whoa, he likes Ms. Limelight, too.
I certainly wouldn't be mad at that, honey.
But my favorite outfit was... What the hell, Mr. Mitzvah and his gold jacket and his gold boots. And Stan Lee questions them, what are your powers? It's like, dude, didn't they have to audition? Don't you already know? How did they get on the show?
I'm Jewish, don't you understand?
I'm Jewish, and I'm a superhero. That's about it. My favorite, though, is Basura. I think she's cute enough. The nose ring scares me.
Yeah, she had to
me.
Go away with the nose ring.
Yeah, the pig nose thing is frightening.
I don't understand why anyone would dig. And that, whenever anyone has nose pierced like that, and also I hate the stretched out earlobe thing, if anyone gets into that. Yeah. But Mindset turned out to be a jackass, right? First, he would not spell the word like it's not spelled.
Then he berates Limelight.
So he's off the show. Very shocking. Great episode.
Yeah, but, you know, they took away his gigantic cone thing.
I know. Like, I was disappointed. It's like, where's his shoulder pads? That's all the character. One thing I love is when he takes his outfit off, he designed his outfit to cover up his gut, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah. When it's off, he's like, whoa, he's got that spare tire there.
I have to say, though, that mine's or Hyperstrike's outfit really is, it looks like the Great American Hero.
Yeah, it is pretty cheap. It's real tight.
It's bad. Really bad.
But hey, Stan Lee, he's in the superhero business.
He designed
I would say Mr. Mitzvah has the worst outfit. And the diffuser, he just looks like another feedback to me.
Right.
All they did with the diffuser is took away his earpiece.
Yeah, and they changed the red to blue, essentially.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and Mr. Mitzvah's wearing some really horrible gold corduroy thing.
He's wearing some gold spray-painted Reeboks or something.
I think they're gold-painted Doc Martens because they look like boots. Yeah. And they got like little, it looked like they had little gemstones or something around them.
All right, Steven, which is more scripted, the two quarries or Who Wants to Be a Superhero? It's hard to say, isn't it?
I'd have to say two quarries.
Yeah, the two quarries. That part where he gets in the hot tub and they have the timing down and everything where it's like, quack, quack.
I was going to say they're probably pretty equal.
The net falling on them was pretty bad. Oh, we're trapped.
Yeah, because they open up that door all the way, walk all out there, and they all stand huddled very close together.
Wow.
Because if it was real, Mr. Mitzvah would have been 10 feet away from him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't hang around.
You know, next week, they're saying that somebody's a mole. The mole is, and they're like looking at each other. I'm betting you Mr. Mitzvah has been an actor this whole long, and it's all phony. What do you guys think?
So he's going to be the neurotic Jewish
stereotype villain.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, if you looked at today when I saw the show.
Hey, what are you doing? You watching the show, Steven?
He's got these bodybuilder shaved legs. You know, did you notice it was like all tan and he got these big veins running all over him? It's like he's got to be an actor.
He's an they're all actors,
he's got to be an actor.
No, that's one thing I deny.
Let me qualify that.
He's a hired actor.
He's a wannabe actor.
Right.
Pretending to be a contestant.
Right.
How about that, Bill?
Be better.
That's what I think. Because remember,
he's not a good actor by any means.
last season they had a mole too, remember? But they revealed him the first thing before anybody.
Yeah.
And this time, I bet you that's who it is. Hey, we could be wrong, but he's so, you know, you're always hanging back, Mr. Mitzvah. It's just silly.
He's the one to teach the other guys to be a team.
That's what's so funny. Like, Stan's like, you need to take this seriously. How the hell am I supposed to take this seriously?
I'm wearing a gold jacket, holding a paddle with the Star of David in gold.
All they care. My favorite is Parthenon!
Oh, my God.
Anyone want to take a schwitz with me?
A what?
Mr. Mitzvah!
A schwitz?
It's a conspiracy.
Yes, it is.
They're scary. You don't even know what gay is.
Yeah, I do.
All right, guys. Big Brother. What do you think? A lot of stuff. Isn't it crazy, Bill, how much stuff happens in that house from show to show? It's like we can't even remember all of the stuff. Like,
yeah,
for once,
it's really hard.
First of all, the whole thing with Jen was in a fight with Danielle, and Dick came and dumped tea on her head.
Yes, which, that was That was interesting.
I mean, Dick has insulted her, called her everything, name under the sun. But the one thing that's interesting about
that's
Jen.
That's his daughter, right?
Danielle is his daughter, Danielle. The blonde girl. But the one thing that I think is interesting about Jen, and I can't look past, I think you got to at least hand it to her this, is she doesn't give him anything.
No.
She doesn't break down and cry in front of him.
She's a wall. There's nothing there.
And that there's no way I could do that. If some guy was saying the same thing to me that he's saying to her, I would be like shaking, wanting to punch him in the head or something.
You know what? I think she's one of those girls that like abuse. Like she gets into verbally abusive relationships or something. And yeah. I don't know. She's really weird about that.
She, I know it. Nothing phases her, and you know that's got to drive him nuts a little bit because he, like Amber, you could say, you know, you really suck, and she'd be, you know, just crying
oh, God.
Immediately.
He could say, "Oh, Amber, I just want to kick her in the bat."
Are they just playing it up now? Every time they show her, even when Dustin won HOH, the first thing they show is her. Dustin's best friend in the house, it seems like, it's Amber. She's like, I'm so happy he won HOH. And she's just bawling. It's like, come on, lady. And
no, it's a constant joke. With
she does
the
crying just to get the attention, to get camera time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the entire, wouldn't you say the entire internet is sick of her?
Yeah, they call her the sea hag.
The sea hag. I love it.
Yeah.
Bill sent me this little, what would you call it, a GIF, animated GIF where it's Jaws. You know when Roy Scheider's throwing the chum in the water and all of a sudden Jaws comes up? Instead, it's her face, like the sea hag, and it's frightening if you see it. It's like, oh, my God, it's her face. Like, ah! It's like, Jesus! Land
yeah,
squid!
They're all just so dumb.
Yeah, like, for instance, Kale. Kale seems like a nice lady. She's in, you know, everyone in their lives, she's obviously one of those people who are so wrapped in her life, she doesn't know what gay people are like, apparently, or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's that bad a person. She's trying to play the game. Everyone lies. She got busted lying, so the whole house labeled her a leper. You know, Kale, she's horrible and all this stuff. And she is probably insane. You know, the house drives you insane.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot worse people than her, if you want to look. First of all, I couldn't stand Amber for a moment. I'd get her out right away. But there's this other stuff going on with Jamaica, who I think is a very nice person. But apparently God in her world is a magic genie, or he's Peter Pan. He's whatever you want him to be. Because she, when they choose to play the veto, Steven, they pull your name out of a bag. Her name, Jen pulled her name, so she's like, God wants me to win the veto for Jen, so I will win the veto and take her off. God has preordained this. She even said God has already has everything mapped out for us. Apparently, God, Bill, he knows who's going to win.
He loves Big Brother.
He knows who's going to win Big Brother 8. And I love Dick goes,
well, technically, if you're you know, religious, he does. But other than that, I don't think he cares.
Well, one thing I love, Dick goes, why even play if that's what it is? Why even bother playing if God already, I mean, if it's already preordained how it's going to happen, why even bother? It's like, why even have a free, that's one thing I don't understand about, like her insane beliefs or whatever. Is if God wants us to have free minds and live our lives, why would we have to everything be a sign of what we were supposed to do? Why couldn't?
Yeah,
I don't think that's faith. I think it's just like not wanting to make decisions and take responsibility for them, and that's what she's doing. Because if it wasn't for God, she wouldn't take Jen off the block, obviously, and she ends up doing that, and it drives everyone nuts. But the best part about all of this is one thing that happens every year, Bill, is people pay money to have a airplane fly a banner over the house saying stuff.
Yeah.
And
started with the first season.
The second season, didn't somebody read it and it actually swayed the game somewhat?
Yeah, it did.
From what I hear. So ever since then, they make them run in the house. You can't see it or whatever. But this year, they did a genius thing. Nick gets voted out, and they're doing an endurance competition like they do every year. Then the plane flies over, so they can't have them stop.
But they actually did.
Oh, they did stop?
It was too late, though. Yeah, it was too late, though. They stopped the competition, put them in the house, and then put them back out. But it was too late. They had already seen the plane.
So what did the banner say?
It said, "We love Nick. Eric and Amber are liars."
So Eric, America's Choice. Exactly. The guy.
But I just want to make it clear that he's not my choice.
Yeah, we didn't pick him. Now,
I cannot stand him.
One thing, he did have something over on all of them. None of them realized what was going on. I mean, how could they? But every week, everyone voted for him to vote for Kale, and that was against the house. Everyone was like, who voted for Kale? Who did that? And Amber was like, I know in my heart it was Nick. Nick did it. And just like, no, bitch, you're wrong. It was Eric, America's player. But now everyone's seen that. Now, is that fair that the banner did that? And now it kind of blew his cover?
Well, I don't think it's really blown his cover because no one believes it. In fact, he's done a really good job of making fun of it to the point where people don't believe it in the house. They're like, oh, who knows? They just want to manipulate the game. There's no, you know. So who knows what's really going on in there, but he's a weasel. He knows how to play the game, and he knows what he's doing.
He's a really good liar.
Well, but he can't read a script.
Yeah.
Every time he's in that diary room and he's got to do the America's player thing, he's like, okay, America.
Yeah.
Dude.
And I never – one thing is I am not on board with what America's voting ever.
No.
Like when they voted, hey, who would you want Eric to vandalize their personal property? I would have chosen Dick or Amber because it would have got him in hot water more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But instead they choose Jen. Oh, give me a break. Come on, give him a friggin' challenge. Have him do something to one of Amber's stuff where she would have raised hell about it and cried.
Yeah, they're making it far too easy for him.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. How
making
do we know?
Him vote for Kale and crap like that.
Right.
I think he should vote for himself.
I want him out because the voting stuff is crap.
This America's player thing is blowing up in their face.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about Entourage this week? They had a funny thing where they had a bet between Turtle and E and who could get laid first. And E can't be in a relationship, right?
He can't be in a relationship and get laid.
He's got to just get laid. And there was this weird thing with the furry. It's like people who like to dress up as animals or whatever.
Yeah.
That was
screw each other as them.
That was hilarious.
There was an episode of CSI with furry.
What is that about? But also
there's a whole weird subculture out there.
The whole thing built up though the very end where Turtle was like, I can't do it. He had this ridiculous bunny outfit and Drama's like, I'm not losing $5,000, and he puts the outfit on, and I love when Turtle goes to peek in and it's
he said, if I'm gonna lose $5,000, I'm gonna get a piece of ass. Yeah.
But I love when he looks in the window, he's screwing the chick, and is she a squirrel or something?
Yeah.
And she's totally acting out with her arms like, like she, it was crazy.
And he's spanking her ass while he's nailing her.
That was hilarious, man. God, that was so funny. But there's also the stuff with Ari trying to get his kid into school. And,
with Homer Simpson.
Yeah, it was Homer Simpson, and there's a very heartfelt moment.
Let my son have a proper education. And don't make him suffer because he has a way too aggressive father that won't shut up on the soccer field. Okay? Please, sir. Please.
Look at you. Did you ever think, given your high-powered status, that you'd ever be reduced to begging and pleading?
You tell Jonah I'm looking forward to his first day at Briar Country Day. But I still don't want to see you at any soccer games. I love this town!
Emmy-worthy.
Now, did they just steal the Emmy away from Johnny Drama with that little bit of tears there?
Yeah, but isn't he nominated in comedy?
Yeah.
Yes. So, no.
But still, plus it's last season, so it's too late. How does that work? Have they already voted?
I just like that.
Or is it like the podcast awards where they got to go website and vote daily?
Yes.
And then they go up on stage and get a laptop desk.
Oh, that would be awesome! Ari Gold, I got my laptop desk.
Thank you, everyone. I love it.
Nothing about Medellin at all. We needed a break, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did.
Boy, did we.
We needed a break from Billy.
Because we talked about that last week. Oh, they're going to have a... But this episode was good.
And I like Ari trying to hire these private guys.
private eyes to find dirt on this guy.
There were a couple one-liners at the beginning that had me howling. There was a line that Johnny did where he said, that's not mean. Mean is when I made so-and-so ride a bike home after I threw her in the ass.
Yeah, I was like, what?
And I just went, I literally spit coke out my nose when that happened.
There was a lot of great Johnny moments in this.
Yeah, it was a really, really funny episode.
And he relishes getting that $5,000 when the bet's off, and he's like smelling the money, and all of a sudden he's like, the bet's back on. He's like, oh, and he's like, Turtle suit up. I'm not losing this money.
Yeah, and Turtle's sleeping.
Yeah, he's like,
and
oh,
he throws
man.
The head at him.
He throws the bunny head at him. Great.
Really funny.
Now, we're going to do something different this week, guys. We're going to go into news, but before we do, musical interlude. What do you guys say? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Oh, oh no. No! Please, God, no.
Chocolate rain. Ugh. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. A baby born will die before the sin. Chocolate rain.
What? What are you saying?
The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain.
School books say that?
The prisons make you wonder where it went. Chocolate rain.
Or what was?
Tent and say the world is dry. Chocolate rain.
What?
Zoom the camera out and see the light. Chocolate
Zoom
rain.
Zoom the camera out and see the light?
Forecast to be falling yesterday. Chocolate
what?
Rain.
What does this mean?
Only in the past is what they say. Chocolate rain.
Only in the past is what they say.
Raise your neighborhood insurance rate.
Your neighborhood insurance rate?
Happy living in a gay chocolate rain. Made me cross the street the other day. Chocolate rain.
Holy crap.
What is that song? What?
Build a tent to say the world is dry.
What? Your neighborhood insurance rates?
This guy is a genius, and that thing goes on for 4 minutes.
I know.
That's Chocolate rain.
What is the guy's name?
Tay Zonde.
Tay Zonde.
And this has been around on the internet for months, but recently it's really kind of gotten popular again.
I love it. It's genius. Let's do the news.
Little American Psycho-esque.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
You know, this one's for Vanessa, because everyone loves her Berlin, Germany stories.
Yes.
German workaholics may be suffering from a lack of sex, according to a university study published Friday. A survey of 32,000 men and women by researchers at the University of Göttingen found over 35% of those reporting unsatisfying sex lives tend to use work as a diversion. Wow. Who would... what?
Don't be mad at me because my boobie's bigger than yours.
You know, sex is really unsatisfying. I need to go to work. some 36% of men and 35% of women surveyed for the Apotheken newsletter said they were like... put in extra time at the office and volunteer for extra assignments. The hard work ethic was even more pronounced among those who reported having no sex. 45% of men, 46% of women said they voluntarily took on more responsibilities.
Huh. So they're better at work?
Yeah, I don't quite understand the meaning of the story that people... Is it that they can't get laid, so they decide to work, or... they're asexual, or... I don't quite understand.
Neither do I.
All I know is that maybe they shouldn't be breeding in Germany. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I take it back. Now, this story is totally true. I read it, and I was just like, you know what? This is real. And for anybody else that has a horrible boss, works in a corporate environment, and you wonder how in the hell this guy got where he is. This is a story for you. In a study to be presented at a conference on management this weekend, almost two-thirds of the 240 participants in an online survey said their local workplace tyrant was either never censured or was promoted for domineering ways. The fact that 64.2% of the respondents indicated that either nothing at all or something positive happened to the bad leader is rather remarkable. Remarkably disturbing, wrote the study's authors. Despite the success in the office, spiteful supervisors can cause serious malaise for their subordinates. The study suggested citing nightmares, insomnia, depression, exhaustion as symptoms of serving a brutal boss.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
You know, I work as a consultant. I go into companies that are having problems. A majority of the time, it does stem from these bosses who they have no clue what they're doing, but they're good at yelling at people.
Right. Don't you think, hasn't that way of management died out now? People don't take that abuse anymore?
No, that's what's so bad about it.
Oh, really?
It's all politics. It's all politics in the workplace. It's who you know, who you kiss ass,
right?
You know, all that. That's how you get hired. It has nothing to do with what you can actually do, what you've done.
Oh yeah,
it's tragic, and I can see that leading to a major downfall within corporate America.
There's always the guy who he gets things done because he's an asshole. And he's an asshole to you.
Pushes.
Sure. Yeah, I've never been able to deal with that kind of management.
And I think that's why I got into consulting with my father is I hate seeing that. I've seen too much of that within corporate America. So you kind of have to, whenever they finally admit, you know, there's something wrong here, why don't you come in and take a look?
No one ever lives by that creed of treat someone as you would yourself. And
no.
I don't understand why.
Does he do me that way?
Because they're selfish bastards.
Exactly.
On the lighter side of things, there seems to be a bit of a problem in Helsinki, Finland. A chocoholic squirrel's been stealing treats from a shop.
Really?
Chocolate rain.
Oh!
I think the squirrel's name is Tezonde. A Finnish squirrel with a sweet tooth heads to a Finnish grocery shop at least twice a day to steal Kinder Surprise brand chocolate shelled eggs. I named it the Kinder Squirrel after the treats. It always goes after them. Other sweets do not seem to interest it as much, the manager of the store in central Finland told me. The confectionery, which is intended for children, has a toy inside. It removes the foil carefully, eats the chocolate, and leaves the store with the toy. Unfortunately, the bushy-tailed thief does not clean up after itself, but leaves the wrappers behind, she added. Squirrels have a well-deserved reputation for being clever and adaptable animals. Many a homeowner has seen the small rodents raiding their supposedly squirrel-proof bird feeders. And that has what to do with the fact that this squirrel is going into a freaking store and going to the candy house.
All right, don't play that again, Foggy. I'm serious.
I don't understand how this happens. Like, does the manager just go, oh, that's so cute. Let this squirrel raid my candy out and shit all over the place. All right. In Miami, a Florida man stockpiled 20,000 cubic yards of horse manure on his property and was charged with running an illegal composting operation. Environmental regulators said on Wednesday.
Wow, what a racket to begin.
Yeah. Neighbors complained about the odor wafting from Walter Duque's property in the community of Luke, where several acres were covered with manure piles up to 15 feet high. Holy shit. That is a lot of... Investigators suspect Duque had been accepting dump truck loads of horse manure from nearby equestrian communities.
Who does this?
Agency spokesman Stephen Weber said they issued three misdemeanor citations for violations punishable up to 18 months in jail and $30,000 in fines.
That's
Florida
great
requires
thing.
Special permits for composting and storing horse manure and regularly inspects the operations to ensure groundwater is not polluted. Good Lord, 20,000 cubic yards.
Stephen, I got a little idea, man. why don't we start our own manure business, but off the books, if you know what I mean?
I think I know where a few horses are.
It's like, what? It's like those things.
Imagine this guy's neighbors.
These remind me of the fishing competition guys who cheat. It's like, who comes up with that? Let's stash the fish on a buoy out in the middle of the lake.
Frozen.
Frozen.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, are you sure you caught these fish today? Because they're frozen rock solid. They yeah, were tied to a six-pack of beer in the middle of the lake. We don't know nothing about that.
We caught them like that. You know, they must have swum from Alaska to the lake. Eh? I still can't get over a 15-foot high pile of shit. That had to be...
That had to smell so bad.
That is one
that
big pile of shit.
That had to be a thing of beauty. Just looking out there like...
A huge cloud of shit. Oh, wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on.
Was it
go.
A cloud of shit or a pile of shit?
It was a pile, but you know what? I'm sure it had quite a cloud above it.
Love it.
In Rome, a Sicilian mother took away her son's house keys.
Oh, dear.
Cut off his allowance and hauled him to the police station because he stayed out late. Tired of his son's misbehavior, the retiree in central Sicilian village of Caltagirone turned to the police to convince his blockhead to behave properly.
Oh, that's how you pronounce it, Bill.
Blockhead, rockhead, okay. The son responded by saying his mother did not give him a big enough weekly allowance and did not know how to cook. My son does not respect me. He doesn't tell me where he's going in the evenings and returns home late. The woman was quoted as saying, he is never happy with the food I make and always complains. This can't go on. Police helped the squabbling make up. And the two return home together with the son's house keys and daily allowance restored. Most Italian men still live at home late into their 30s, enjoying their mama's cooking, washing, and ironing. But this guy was 61 years old.
What? What? That's the last thing you say?
No.
Wait, the guy who's locked out of his house is 61?
Yes.
The guy who's mom. I like how that's the last thing you said. The guy's 61. How old is his mom?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
He gets an allowance still?
Yes. 61. If...
God. What the hell? You need to start doing all stories like that where it has a little stinger at the end. I love that.
But if he's 61, let's say she gave birth to him at 30, she would be 90.
What is, where is he? At the bingo parlor all night? What is he doing?
Yeah, she'll be between 80 and 90 years old. If she's as early as 20 years old and late as 30.
That was like an M. Night Shyamalan type news story. It's like the twist at the end.
The twist, yeah.
And that man... was 61 years old. No, Jesus!
You know, it's like, wow! It's like one of those Paul Harvey stories.
Yeah, and that
story then reveals
is
the
rest of the story. Love that guy.
That is shocking. Shocking.
Genius.
Yeah, exactly. Mexico City, a Mexican telecom tycoon, Carlos Slim, who is estimated by some calculations to be wealthier than Microsoft founder Bill Gates.
Even more Thursday, than Mr. Mitzvah?
Yes,
that more. That guy owns a castle, for Christ's sake.
L'chaim! It's the Jewish castle.
A Jewish castle? What is that?
I have no idea. It's a temple.
It's a Jewish
he
castle.
Lives in a temple.
Oh, gotcha. Temple. Synagogue.
Yes, a synagogue. So on Thursday, he said he didn't care if he was the richest person in the world. It's water off a duck's back to me, the cigar store.
Zing!
Told foreign correspondents. I don't know if I'm number one, number 20, number 2,000. It doesn't matter. In July, a journalist who tracks the fortunes of wealthy Mexicans said Slim was worth an estimated $7.8 billion. Wealthy Mexicans. What?
They threw that in there?
Yes. He's an estimated $67.8 billion and had overtaken Gates as the world's richest person.
They killed the Giggler!
I don't think he killed anyone. He's just a really rich Mexican.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And I don't see why that it's a big deal that he doesn't care that he's rich. If I had $67.8 billion, I could give a flying fuck about anyone else, let alone what they think about me.
But isn't that like only a guy who's rich could say that? I mean, has he ever been poor or, you know what I mean?
A woman was arrested in a fudge robbery.
Uh-huh.
After an assault claim. A sweet tooth, again, another this time a person with a sweet tooth, proved to be the undoing of a Greenbelt woman visiting Annapolis this week. Shortly after midnight Thursday morning, the Annapolis Police Department received a call from a clerk at the downtown Maryland House Hotel who reported that a woman had come into the lobby and said she had been the victim of a sexual assault.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, officers met with Greenbelt resident Catherine Ann DeLago, 35, and determined that her assault claim was unfounded. During the course of their conversation in the lobby, the officers noticed that DeLago, wearing slacks and a sleeveless white blouse, had large slabs of fudge bulging out of her pockets.
Huh?
Oh my God, what a bitch.
Smudges of fudge showed up very well on her hands and white blouse.
So this is like chocolate?
Yeah, like...
Chocolate ring!
Okay, Foggy. Damn you!
Oh, God. You don't see something like that every day, said the officer. On a hunch, an officer walked over to the nearby fudge kitchen on Main Street and found that the front door was unsecured.
Little fudge American Psycho-esque.
Told police that since closing time, a large amount of fudge had disappeared from the store's window display. He did not know why the door was unlocked. Meanwhile, back at the hotel, DeLago had used the restroom during her interview with police. When a female officer checked the facility, she found that DeLago had tried to flush a large amount of fudge down the toilet. So much, in fact, the candy clogged the toilet.
This is like the best news story ever.
Oh, I guess there was a little too much fudge packed in that toilet.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I can't believe someone robbed a fudge store and then tried to flush it out. That's hilarious.
I love that lady. I love that she said she was sexually... What did she say? She was raped or assaulted?
I was raped. Raped by fudge.
What the hell? That lady was crazy. God.
Chocolate rain.
Okay, I swear to God.
She must have got caught in the chocolate rain.
Yeah.
You want a piece of me?
She tried to build a tent and say the world is dry. All right.
And how old was she? 89.
Yes. And she was 89. And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for the news this week, and what do you say? Do we have any DVDs this week?
I think we do.
All right, let's do it. Ow! Steven's in the bathroom. What do I do?
Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. Let's do the DVDs. DVDs. DVDs.
Suck.
DVDs. HD Blu-ray. It's at the definition.
Oh, hell yeah, that sucks. Good lord.
Chocolate ring.
Yeah, that's even better than
that's,
that.
Yeah, that's,
Jesus. That's... Stop. But I'm sorry about that, Bill. Steven had to take a step into the other room, and I don't know what else to do. I had to sing it, right?
Yeah, there's nothing else you can do.
The show must go on to say a cliche. Huh? Okay. Who? What?
No idea.
I love this town!
What DVDs are coming out this week, Bill? I'd really, really like to know.
Well, there's some DVDs in the news. Today, Tuesday, August 7th, 2007.
Cheers!
The horrible John Ritter series, Eight Simple Rules, the complete first season.
How dare you? He died doing that show.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And plus, it's got that really hot-looking daughter who's jailbait, but probably in
Old enough now.
Wow.
But it's only $19. I guess it, you know.
Well, he died, and then, you know, it lost its worth, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I love John Ritter. Jack Tripper, Three's Company.
Yeah. He was great in some movies like Bad Santa and a few other ones.
Didn't he die the same way Jim Henson did, where he thought he had the flu or something? Do you remember how he died?
Yeah, he had something with his heart that just gave out. Like, he thought he had the flu, and he went to lay down, and I think he just died.
Yeah, that's crazy. And that was a shocking death there.
That really was, especially on set of the show it happened.
And then they did the uneasy idea of, let's go ahead and have him die. Let's kill his character on the show and then have us deal with it.
Yeah, and then let's bring in James Garner and David Spade.
Yeah, David Spade. He'll save any show.
That's what I think. David Spade, oh, he's great. He'll save it. Next is, if you don't own Airplane or Top Secret, Paramount's releasing it in a double pack, both films, for $10.
Ooh, I don't have either one of those. Are they in anamorphic widescreen, Bill?
Of course they are.
Oh, yes.
Next DVD is the Ice-T, Are We Done Yet? Or no, Ice Cube, Ice-T, Who can really figure out who's an ice of anything anymore?
Yeah, I have no idea.
But I love the cover. You would think he would use his real name. You know, instead it says Ice Cube. Are we done yet?
I believe his name is Ice Johnson.
Iced Johnson.
Yes.
I think that's a drink.
You're the man now, dog.
Now, what the hell happened to him? Why is he doing this horrible, horrible film?
When did he not do horror?
I know, but it's the kind of thing, like, somebody makes a movie, like, oh, okay, I'll forgive him. It's going to make a lot of money. This looked like a friggin' horrible movie. It's like when Robin Williams made RV.
Yeah, but, you know, people go see horrible movies. It's just the way it is.
They go see stuff like Underdog?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't have brought a better example.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's a great thing.
It is. And speaking of great things, Bubba Hotep, Hail to the King edition.
Nice. Hail to the King, baby. Bubba Hotep's got some of the funniest dialogue ever in a movie.
Oh, it really does. There's
scribbling on the shithouse wall. Bruce Campbell was genius in that.
That line alone just makes the movie worth it.
And Ossie Davis is so great in this film.
Yeah, he is. It's... I think this was his last role. What a way to go out.
He's playing golf right now with John Ritter in heaven.
Oh, they have golf courses in heaven?
Sure, on clouds.
Oh, that's cool. I bet you that's a tough course. Good Lord. I think this is basically the same exact edition that came out. I think it comes in like a shirt or something.
Fun thing about that commentary is Bruce Campbell does the commentary as Elvis.
Yeah, audio commentary by the King.
Yeah, and he's eating popcorn. You can hear him munching on it. It's great. It's very entertaining.
There are some commentaries that with the people in character can be quite enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm thinking the most insane commentary I've ever heard was the Anchorman one with Will Ferrell and the director, and guests show up, Paul Rudd, Andy Richter, who's not even in the movie. He calls in wanting to know why he's not in the movie.
Yeah, and then the jazz singer, what's his name, shows up.
Oh, yeah, Lou Rawls is on the commentary.
Lou Rawls shows up for, like, half of the movie.
He has no idea. He's never seen the film.
No.
It's really... Even if you don't like the movie... just listen to the commentary. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and at some point, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay start making Christina Applegate cry, who calls in.
Yeah, she wanted to be in the commentary, and they're like, well, we're doing it right now. And she's like, what? And also, he ends up punching the director, Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it's one of the better commentaries out there. Next DVD is a triple set called the Dark Man trilogy.
No, what? No, it's not a trilogy. The other two don't count.
I love on the front of it, it's stamped all three Dark Man movies.
Okay, first of all, Liam Neeson was not in the other two. They had the guy who played the mummy as Dark Man, but so they don't count, all right?
Well, you know, I think the second one is really good. The Dark Man 2, The Return of Durant.
Yeah, The Return of Durant and my favorite, Die, Dark Man, Die, with Jeff Fahey.
Dark Man 3, Die, Dark Man, Die. Wow.
Wow. And those are straight-to-video things, and I love it. Kim Delaney is in one of them, I remember.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, they're so bad. I don't know why.
Well, I think we
How
do.
How dare they call just... it a trilogy?
Yeah, that's just shocking to me.
It's like calling the Highlander series, like, the Highlander... trilogy. I think it's more than three, you know? It's like, no, only the first one exists.
I think you're not giving enough credit to The Quickening.
The Quickening! Remember the dudes on the hoverboards or whatever? They were like boys?
No, they didn't have hoverboards, they had wings.
The planet Zeist!
They were like flying around and crap. That was insanity.
That movie is so unbelievably bad. There are defenders online of that film, and I get angry reading it. No, it's not really that bad. No, I swear to God, I will hunt you down and kill you. I hate the food. I hate the movie that much because when you see Highlander, it's so incredible. The Queen soundtrack, the Michael Kamen score, it just everything came together so beautifully, Bill. And then Highlander 2. Oh my God, I can't wait to see this. And then this shit. Begins. Michael Ironside is the new Kurgan guy or whatever, and they're from the planet Zeiss. They're not even from Earth. They're aliens,
and they're in the. And it's
wow. Sean Connery died in the first one, and he comes back for no explainable reason in the second one.
Yeah, and I like that they looks like they used the set from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers, I would rather own that movie on DVD.
Wow, that's saying a lot. Next DVD, Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf.
Ugh.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, seriously, Shia LaBeouf. Is it LaBeouf? LaBeouf?
LaBeouf.
LaBeouf. Talented guy. How is this film, Bill? I have not seen it, but I heard it's fantastic.
Not good. Not good. I watched it last week.
Isn't it scary? Did any part you have to hide your eyes or anything?
No, it's in no way scary at all. In fact, it's rather tame. And
well, I remember Shia LaBeouf being on... You know, he has a giant left foot, by the way, but he was on Jay Leno.
He walks in circles.
He was talking about this is not a remake of Rear Window. It's his own separate entity. It's a different kind of thriller that kind of... it's better than Hitchcock. Is that true?
Are you serious?
No, he didn't say that, but...
I was going to say, this movie is... It's a teenage Rear Window. It's for, you know... It's for preteens to, like... 14
and grab their 15-year-old boyfriend. I'm scared.
Yeah, they would think it's really good, but I watched it and I was just really underwhelmed. There was really nothing going on.
But David Morse, very menacing in that role.
No, he's not.
Wow.
You know what? I bet you he could be if he had a little more to work with. But there's just nothing there.
Will you go ahead and give away the ending on the show?
Okay, so. David Morse is a killer, and somehow Shia LaBeouf's friend, they break into the guy's house to try to figure out who he is, and Shia LaBeouf's friend drops his video camera, and the camera shoots through a heating grate to someone's dead face behind it. And Shia LaBeouf goes in and finds that this guy has like a whole Dexter-like room where he... disembowels and dissects
people.
Yeah, it's
so scary,
bad.
Man, I don't know if I could sit through that. I don't know if I could stomach that, Bill.
You know what? I wouldn't recommend it, but if it's on TV, like HBO or something, you might want to watch it just for the hell of it.
If it comes out on HD DVD, I'll Netflix it.
Yeah, next DVD is The Doom Generation, and the only reason I even mention this movie is Rose McGowan is topless through the majority of it.
Wow, and The Rock's in it, too. I love that video game, too, by the way.
No, I'm sorry. But Jonathan Schick is.
Isn't that a horrible movie, by the way?
The Doom Generation?
Yeah. Greg Araki?
Yeah, it's horrible, but it's Rose McGowan's titties.
Yeah, and she was, you know, she never did anything for me on that show Charm, but hey, when you watch her in friggin' Planet Terror in Grindhouse, it's just like, smoking hot.
Yeah, you know, give it a chance. Next DVD is The Dresden Files, the complete first season.
Ah, yes, The Dresden Files. What has it been renewed or not?
No idea. I haven't seen any of this, so I'm going to rent it and check it out.
You know, it's a entertaining show. The only thing holding it back is really they didn't have enough budget to do great effects, but it is a good show, and it's got a great cast.
Okay.
But well, it's no worse than Doctor Who, the effects budget.
Well, hey, you know, Doctor Who can be really, you know, corny, but
one thing I heard is, like, one thing you'll notice on the pilot episode, he uses a lot of magic, and every episode after that he uses less and less and less. I guess sci-fi, they didn't want him to overdo it with the magic, so he's like a warlock, but he doesn't use that much magic.
That makes absolutely
sense.
We have a warlock private investigator, is it?
Uh-huh.
And he uses less and less magic
as each consecutive episode. But that's okay, because he deals with stuff in the occult, so he has knowledge of it. He doesn't have to use magic. He just knows about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's good.
Don't be mad at me because my boobie's bigger than yours.
Well, believe me, I'm not. I'm actually kind of glad. The next DVD is The Film Crew, Killers from Space. I have yet to see the first Film Crew DVD, but
now the Film Crew is
Mike Nelson, Bill Corbett, and Kevin Murphy, the second crew from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right.
I think the only one there that's original is Kevin Murphy. He's always been Tom Servo. Bill Corbett took over for
Tracy Blue,
who was Crow, and Mike Nelson took over for Joel Hodgson.
Now, I wonder if this is as funny as Mystery Science Theater.
Well, you know what? These are Mystery Science Theater-type films. Right. So I would probably enjoy watching this more than have them do a riff tracks on 300 for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Or Casino Royale or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, riff tracks started out great. I mean, they chose some... I mean, the first movie they did was Roadhouse. You can't get better than that.
Right.
And then they started picking movies that just were like, why?
Like, I know.
Harrison Ford's Firewall. Like, that really needed...
It's like, first of all, the way Riff Tracks works is it's an MP3 file that you pay for, and then you have to have the movie to sync it up to watch it. Who wants to go buy Firewall or even rent it?
Yeah. What I would do is rent them and then... copy them and then overlay the riff tracks onto the audio, and it's a whole friggin' difficult process. Right. I used to do it all the time, but now it's like
Like if you had to just put in the DVD, hit play, and then queue up the MP3 file, would it stay on track without having to mess with it?
You know what? It might, but I don't want to watch it like that.
Yeah,
I mean I understand that most people do. But there's just something about it that I would rather sit down, watch the movie, and have the commentary over it. I don't want to have to mess around with everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Film Crew, I'm going to give it a chance because I love Mystery Science Theater 3000, and these guys can be really funny when given good material. Next DVD is something people have been waiting for a long time, about as long as the Monster Squad DVD that came out. This is... Flash Gordon, Savior of the Universe Edition.
Ooh, yeah, boy. That's what I'm talking about.
It's another film with an excellent score from Queen.
Yeah, Highlander and Flash Gordon.
Yes. And so this is a really interesting edition. It's pretty much loaded. It's completely remastered. It's got Alex Ross.
Flash Gordon to Voltan.
Do you read me? Mayday. Mayday.
Mayday.
Oh, well. Who wants to live forever?
Oh, yeah. Die. And the great Timothy Dalton is the Baron.
Yeah, I gotta say, that score in Highlander, or at least the music, the Queen music was great. I mean, that's Kind of Magic is one of my favorite
scenes. It's a Kind of Magic. And the funny part about that is they sing that song, It's a Kind of Magic, and the part where then they have Christopher Lambert, or Lambert, he's like,
Lambert.
Hey, it's a kind of magic.
Oh, gosh.
It's a kind of magic.
There's a reason why he hasn't done a whole lot of films outside of the Highlander.
There can be
series.
Only one. Oh, he's done a lot of films. Fortress.
He did that. Yeah, Fortress. That was the one with the guy from that 70s show in RoboCop.
Danny Masterton?
Kurtwood Smith.
Oh, Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, Danny Masterton.
And his brother are in it, and they also own the Geisha House or something.
Yes,
like
Fortress
that.
Is all about breaking out of Scientology.
Yeah, they're actually in Ledoux or whatever, and they're trying to get
Ledouche.
Out. Yeah, Ledoux.
So this thing is loaded.
Bang. Ledesh.
Savior of the Universe edition.
Yes, Flash. Savior of the Universe.
I didn't know, but Sci-Fi is doing an original show. I guess they're...
Yes, they are. A TV show.
So they've got a sneak peek at that in this.
Now, let me ask you this. On the DVD, are there any commentaries?
You know, it doesn't really say, but it says there's a thing from Alex Ross who talking about how Flash Gordon influenced him. There's a feature about writing it by Lorenzo Semple. And
That guy,
you know,
sucks.
It doesn't, it says nothing about a commentary, which is really kind of disappointing.
You know what's interesting about Flash Gordon? It was a film that I made fun of when I saw it in the theater. Uh-huh. I was a little kid and I joked about how much it sucked. And yet I couldn't stop watching it. When it'd be on every time it would be on television, I'd watch it, make fun of it. So at the same time I made fun of it, I also loved it. It's like that kind of film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's just so bad that you have to.
Yeah.
It's bad in a good bad kind of way, if that makes any sense.
And I had a little crush on the bad girl, Ming's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of hot.
Well, that's all it takes, especially yes. whenever you're young. Next DVD set is the Fly Collection, Fly 1, Fly 2. You know, Fly 2 is so much better with Eric Stoltz. Eric Stoltz and Daphne Zuniga.
I love when she's like, you're getting worse. I'm getting better.
Wow.
Genius.
I mean, the original Fly is okay, but
Brundle Fly,
is just classic.
I remember watching The Fly for the first time, and it, you know, David Cronenberg, it just, all of a sudden, it gets gross.
Yeah, it gets so gross, to the point of uncomfortably gross.
Remember, like, he can, like, spit up this acid stuff and then slurp up his food, and there's a part where he spits on the guy's hand and it melts it. It's just like, oh!
Yeah, I remember watching it the first time and going, what is he trying to achieve here?
And the best part is the famous part where he's arm wrestling the dude and he snaps the dude's arm and you see the bone or whatever. Oh, dude. Nasty.
David Cronenberg loves that stuff.
Oh, he likes to disturb his audience.
What was that horrible movie with Jude Law and...
Existenz.
Oh,
hey, sweetie, don't shoot any puppies on your way out, okay?
But also a Videodrome. I mean, all those movies. He's a Crash. I can't sit through that. One night my wife was watching. I was like, you got to turn it. This isn't the Crash that won the Academy Award. This is the one about people who get in car wrecks and have sex.
Yeah, they love to have sex while in car wrecks or whatever. Didn't they have it had that Kara Unger.
Yeah, Holly Hunter's in it, and she's in braces or something. I don't know.
It's stupid. It's just stupid.
Yeah, it's really
next DVD
bad.
Is Chris Rock and I Think I Love My Wife.
Huh?
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
It flopped majorly at the box office. Probably going to be one of Chris Rock's last headlining movies.
Yeah, didn't he direct that too, I believe?
I don't think he directed
it. He wrote it or directed it.
Yeah, he wrote it. He wrote it. Jesus Christ. He wrote it. He wrote it. Shut up, Louis. He wrote it with Louis C.K., another comedian who was the writer on his show.
They tried to hit lightning twice, like with Pootie Tang, but it didn't happen.
Pootie Tang! At the sign of thing on the running down or something.
I love Pootie Tang. Pootie Tang!
That's one of those movies that when it's on, I can't help but watch it.
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly dumb. Next DVD is, I'm definitely buying this. It's the 1978 remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ooh, with Donald Sutherland?
Donald Sutherland, Jeff Goldblum.
I just remember that part at the end where she's like, hey, Donald Sutherland, are you okay? And he's like, he does that.
That is probably the best frame in a film ever.
Man. And then it like freeze frames and it pulls out like as a photograph or something. That was some crazy stuff. I was a little kid and my grandparents had cable and I saw that part. I mean, that kept me up all night.
Yeah.
Just like, Jesus!
The 1978 remake actually improves on the original. And we'll have to see what happens with this new Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig remake that they're just calling Invasion, I believe.
Yeah, see, there's one problem that I have with the whole Invasion of the Body Snatchers is I'm kind of from the camp, and I know this is bad because you should just enjoy the film that they give you, but I want some gunplay. I want some alien fighting.
Hey, why not? Yeah.
But it never comes to that. It is a good ending with the... Yeah, it's creepy
just
stuff.
The face he makes looks like just that's classic. You know, he's involved in two great endings. That one and Don't Look Away.
I've never seen that.
Don't Look Away, you got to see. It's a great movie. Probably, you know, just up there. It's really, really
good.
Does
he do that same thing at the end?
Almost, yeah. The next DVD is The Muppet Show Season 2.
Awesome. Wonka, wonka.
But I don't think I would ever buy it.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to light the lights.
Hi-hoo.
You know, if you watch The Muppet Show, that show was very cleverly written. It was a great show.
Oh, it was. It was. And you know what was so clever about it was that it was, you know, kids could watch it, but the adult humor in it was really ahead of its time.
And they always had guest stars like Barbara Mandrell or
sure.
You know, Luke Skywalker. They'd have Mark Hamill on there. They had all sorts of big celebrities at the time, and it's just
well,
it's
anytime you know somebody was out trying to promote a movie, that was the show to go on.
And the thing that was genius about the show, it wasn't just about the performances on stage; it was also the backstage stuff with Kermit dealing with it, and that was hilarious.
Yeah, with Beaker and all those. It was,
much like John Ritter, much like Ozzie Davis, I also miss Jim Henson quite a bit.
Yes. Jim Henson, a lot of stuff probably wouldn't have been made that was horrible if Jim Henson was around.
Yeah.
Next DVD is, of course, The Simpsons, the 10th complete season.
I need help!
10th season.
Yeah, do you want to own that or just to complete your collection?
Yeah, I stopped collecting them at season 7. So, you know, because I really think past season 7, it really just sucked.
Yeah.
Also, the salon, the barbershop.
Boring.
The Queen Latifah. I guess they had to do a female version of the barbershop, so they did the salon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a bitch.
You know what? I've seen some of that. Because they showed on Showtime in HD and
what barbershop or the salon?
The salon is it or is it called Beauty Shop?
Beauty Shop.
Yeah, I've seen Beauty Shop.
Yeah, and I guess this one is kind of the answer to Beauty Shop. I don't know.
I'm actually a fan of Queen Latifah, and I got to admit that I kind of like have a crush on her, and I actually have a pet name for her.
Chocolate Rain.
Yes.
I call her my sweet little Dipitosity.
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 No, seriously, I can't sit through that film.
No, I can't sit through it. She's got one that's been shown constantly on Showtime, that The Last Holiday or something.
Oh, that's a great film. She thinks she's going to die, so she gets all of her savings, and she lives it up like this millionaire or something.
Yeah, and what in the hell is Gerard Depardieu doing in it?
Depardieu, I guess, is he supposed to be like Wolfgang Puck in the movie or something?
Yeah, he is.
Timothy Hutton is supposed to be Donald Trump, or...
I don't know. I saw little bits and pieces of it and was like, oh my god, I can't watch this.
If Queen Latifah was in a film called Chocolate Rain, would you go to see it?
Only if Tay Zonde did the score.
Chocolate Rain.
Yes, beautiful story.
Some stay dry and others feel the pain.
Your neighborhood has... What? What did he say?
Something about high insurance rates.
Wow.
Next DVD is The Tick Season 2, the animated show version.
Oh, okay.
Is that really necessary?
No, it's not necessary, but some people really liked it.
That was a funny show. The problem I had with it at the time, because I loved the Tick comic book, is that I thought the animation really sucked, but I thought it was well written.
Yeah. Next DVD coming out on Blu-ray and DVD and HD DVD, TMNT.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah, Cowabunga, dude!
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which is actually pretty good.
It's pretty entertaining. It's got some cool monsters and stuff in it. It's got some cool fights.
It's much more... I liked watching it because it's more comic booky.
Right. If that's
sense.
A word. But
yeah.
I had one problem with it, though.
What was that?
Corey Feldman did not voice one of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Michelangelo was lacking because of Corey Feldman.
Some crappy sequel.
You know, it's funny, Corey Feldman even mentions that to Corey Haim. He's like, I know how you feel, man. Do you know how I felt when they made the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles without me? It made me feel horrible. So he didn't get to voice the Ninja Turtle in the next film, I guess, and he was really hurt by it.
That poor bastard.
Have I written you a death threat yet today?
That is a great line. Last DVD, a movie that just looked absolutely so bad on TV that I dare anybody to watch it and report back to us. It's Unaccompanied Minors.
Huh? What is this?
A bunch of kids stuck in an airport on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And I believe...
Blah, blah, blah.
Is the Everyone Hates Chris kid?
Yeah, Wilder Valderrama is in it. And
what
was shocking to me was Paul Feig directed it, who was the main head writer of Undeclared and Freaks and Geeks.
Really?
Yeah, Paul Feig, or Feig, or, I don't know. But he was the partner of Judd Apatow for Undeclared and Freaks and Geeks.
Now,
so,
I haven't seen the film. Maybe it's funny. You never know.
I don't know. It just looks so bad to me.
Not really. No.
Now, didn't Wilder Valderrama go out with Lindsay Lohan or something like that?
Yeah, I believe he screwed her.
I'm going to milk it.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure she milked his...
Huh? Thing.
What?
Huh?
No, I didn't say anything. Lewis! And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. And I'm going to pick up... I think I'm going to only pick up one this week. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on HD DVD.
Oh, I bet you it's going to look great.
Is that a good selection?
I would say yes.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see you.
All right. right, everybody. That was episode 87 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for listening to the show on Talk Radio X. Talk Radio X is excellent. Yes, exactly. Right?
End of story.
Yes. And if you would like to send us voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you'll find links to our forum and Mulberry Old School. There you can find episode 1 of Nowhere in Mulberry, and you will learn of what happened to the helicopter that crashed. Am I right, Bill?
Yep.
A rescue helicopter has crashed. This is again going back to the looks like a Coast Guard type.
Oh.
Where's
so I love the word at the end.
So that's what happened to the helicopter, but. If you'd like to send us an email requesting more information about this helicopter, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget that we're at war right now. Right, Mulberrians? Go to podcastawards.com, scroll down to the entertainment category, and hopefully you vote daily for Nowhere in Mulberry. Also, vote daily in the TV film category for our buddies at the Hollywood Saloon, which I must say, I can't wait till they have a new show. I heard there's a lot of special stuff planned, and I can't wait. Right, Rock?
Aku Machente!
Yes, exactly. Aku Machente, Bill.
Indeed.
And Steven had to run. He had some things to do, but thanks for sticking with me here, Bill, and doing the DVDs and the news. We had a lot of fun. And maybe possibly Vanessa next week?
Really?
Possibly.
Wow.
Where's Vanessa sweepstakes? I've had a lot of good guesses. Simon from Saskatchewan thinks that she is in the shitter, which is not very clever. I think you could try harder than that.
The shitter's full.
Yeah, the shitter's full. Exactly.
We're in this game!
Huh? No more of that. No more of that.
That's only if the shitter explodes.
Yeah. All right, guys. And just remember, if you have anything to say about the show.
You want a piece of me?
Yes, exactly. I don't know what that means. But nimpodcast@gmail.com. Write us, voicemail us, and anything else you can think of, Bill. Maybe sky banners, something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we could tell us if we're liars and who you love.
Yes.
Little American Psycho-esque.
Yes, I agree. All right, Bill, thanks for joining us. Everybody, see you next week. Right, Bill?
Yes. Sorry.
Yes, exactly.
Bye.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Here we try the bill. And see you.
Now this is podcasting.